Genesis chapter 5, God says he would love you to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And tonight is a wonderful time. You're going to see your Bible, and perhaps if you haven't seen this before, maybe in a new and precious light. We're going to do chapter 5 tonight, Lord willing. And we'll just scratch in your margin here, right next to chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, where Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, Paul is saying, is God breathed? Now, when Joshua got done writing, when Moses got done writing, when Paul got done writing, when they put a period on that last sentence, you can be absolutely certain that every one of those words written by Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, right down to every crossing of the T, dotting of the I, every word was exactly as God wanted. Then we had to take our hats off to our Jewish friends and those people who worked so very hard to guard the translation, I should say the transmission of God's word. All the way back to Job, likely our oldest book of the entire Bible. And because the Jews took such painstaking care of every letter, every crossing of the T, dotting of the I, when they found those Dead Sea Scrolls, 1941 and following, and you compare a 2,500-year-old copy of your book of Isaiah, there it was. God says, I know there's going to be critics in the last days, so I'm going to put a couple of Bible books of the Bible on ice and no humans mess with it for 2,000 years up in the Dead Sea caves of Qumran. It's an astounding, if you don't know about the Dead Sea Scrolls, check it out. They're a lot of fun. And when they find these very old Bibles that were old to the Essenes at the time, when the Romans rolled through, they found a 35-foot scroll of the book of Isaiah. Hold your 2,500-year-old in Hebrew book of Isaiah up to your current book of Isaiah, and the differences are less than 1%. There has never been a book more cherished and more guarded than your Old Testament and your New Testament. What we have in our lap is what they said. It's been faithfully represented for all of these millennia. With that in mind, Paul was able to write 2,000 years ago to us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, or God breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, knowing what's right, for reproof, knowing what's wrong, for correction, faithful instruction on how to do it right, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And tonight we're going to see some of the most startling examples that your Bible comes from outside of our time and space dimensional system. Are you ready? Chapter 5, verse 1. Moses goes on. Now, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. Now, I'm going to give you the names of these guys in your Bible, but I'm also going to give you the meanings. Some of you have been with me with this exercise. It's probably already in your Bible, but if not, next to Adam, write man. Man. Adam. Ish, man. Okay? So that's his name, his meaning. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Verse 2. He created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. I got a couple charts for you. Go ahead, if you would, Chris, for the first one. I've had this chart with me for a long time, and it's pretty cool. You know, when you read chapter 5 of Genesis, and we'll get to chapter 11 Genesis, you're going to see the Bible says how old these people were when they had their sons, and then how long they lived in their entirety. And then you get down there, see Moses down at the bottom, way at the bottom right-hand corner. And see Adam way at the top left corner. Woo, that's a whole lot of generations. Who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Well, Moses did. All right. Well, how did he know? And the popular notion is, well, that's a long time ago from Adam. If you kind of look at it, the page, about 25 generations. But if you lay it out like this, I want you to see how old they were when they had their sons, and then how long they lived after. So keep that up there as we continue to cruise. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years. And remember, we learned about Cain and Abel. So he had sons in front of this next guy, Seth. So when he was 130 years old, he begot a son of his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth. So Seth, right next to that, that name means appointed. And we saw that in chapter 4. That's exactly what it means. Appointed. All right. Verse 4, and he begot Seth, and the days of Adam were 800 years. So he lives for a total of 930 years. And he had other sons and other daughters. And remember, those other sons and other daughters, he lived 930 years. How long was his, I don't know, him and Eve, how long were they able to have kids? The typical human time, you're going to get maybe 30, 40 years. How many babies could you have if you were basically the perfect DNA genome? No deficiencies whatsoever. That's a pretty healthy marrying couple. How many kids could you have in, oh, I don't know, maybe 900 years? Well, then they had their kids. And as you see, Seth had kids. Enosh had kids. And why I'm saying that is because planet Earth is now being populated at quite a clip now. Remember, it's a geometric rate. And so they had other sons and daughters. And that's why in chapter 4, we saw Cain took a wife. And people who don't know this layout, they say, well, what? Adam and Eve begot Abel, or begot Abel, and then they begot Cain, and then Cain messed up big time. Cain brain, as we looked at last week. And then he took a wife. Wait a minute, where did he get a wife from? If you do the math, they had lots of kids. And then those kids had lots of kids. And then those kids had lots of kids too. So not a stretch that Cain could find a wife. Now verse 5. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years. Then he died. Verse 6. Seth lived 105 years and he begot Enosh. Now right next to Enosh, that means mortal. In fact, we saw that last week. Mortal slash flesh. Really death of sorts. But mortal or flesh. That's what Enosh's name means. So write that nearby. Verse 7. And he begot Enosh, and Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. Verse 8. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and then he died. So 912. Hey, why are these guys living so long? It's because the flood hadn't happened yet. You see where the flood is. You see where Noah is. And then the big fat red line is the flood. And what that's about is before the flood, planet Earth was very different. Primarily that water canopy that existed and somehow suspended in the atmosphere that did two things. It took the direct sunlight and solar radiation from the sun and diffused that sort of warmth or energy. And so the surface of the Earth underneath it was more uniformly warm. So today, and what caused the flood, by the way, was not the clouds. It was that water canopy crashing to the earth and also the water from underneath the continents, because I believe that's when the continents were made. They came rushing out as well. That's what flooded the earth. After the flood, now the atmosphere is much thinner in comparison, and that's why the equator, the middle portion of the sphere, is the hottest, and the poles are very, very cold. A large temperature discrepancy because a thinner atmosphere. Before that canopy crashed, it helped to shield the humans from solar radiation and radiation coming flying in from space. Because when you are aging, what's really happening is when your DNA unzips and recombines, there's little telomeres at the end of those little doodahs, a medical term, Mike, doodah, from the Greek word doutnoa, you know. And they're called telomeres, and come to find out that when we get older, we lose our telomeres. And parenthetically, in some grapes, telomeres can be ingested, and they actually bond in some circumstances and give you more telomeres. Well, so they drink a lot of wine? No, I mean, the portions are so slow. But here's what I'm getting at. At one time, whatever was the earth before and the plant life before it was destroyed by sin, the plants that were eaten by the humans helped to rebuild the literal genome and DNA structures of the humans. So shielded from radiation, which bombard those little telomeres and smash them into smithereens. And that's why we age, because our cells cannot replicate like they did when we were little and our skin was plump and fresh, you know. And now the mirror is not my friend anymore. But before the flood, people were living to a great age. After the flood, you'll notice that the lifetimes begin to diminish quite a bit. In the millennial reign, that canopy is going to be restored. And the humans are again, in the millennial reign, are going to live for upwards of 1,000 years. In fact, the Bible says the age of a man will be that of a tree. Well, back to our study. That's why they were living so long. Well, now we're in verse number 9. Enosh lived 90 years, and then he begot Canaan. Some of your translations say Kenan with a K, but it means, his name means sorrow. Sorrow. I think what you're seeing here is now these subsequent generations are feeling planet Earth begin to degrade because of sin. And they're going to start naming their kids Bummer. Well, watch this. Verse 10. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years. He had other sons and daughters. Verse 11. And so all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Verse 12. Canaan lived 70 years, and he begot Mahalalel. El in Hebrew is God. So, his name means blessed God. Mahalalel's name means blessed God. And you're like, why are you telling us this? Hang on. I think you're going to be sort of if you don't know where we're going with this, this will be quite a fun exercise for you. Verse 13, and after he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And then he died. Verse 15, Mahalalel lived 65 years and he begot Jared, who founded a jewelry store. No, he didn't. Jared's name means in Hebrew, come down or descend. That's what his name means. Verse 16, and after he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and then he died. Verse 18, Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. Enoch's name means teaching or preaching. And this is going to be important, as you'll see here in a minute. Preaching or teaching, that's what his name means. Verse 19, after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were about 962 years, and then he died. Well, Enoch was 65 years old, and he begot Methuselah. That's a long name, because it means his death shall bring. That's what his name means. His parents named him, when I die, look out. Really? And of course, Methuselah, when he dies, that's when the flood of Noah happens. So this is Methuselah, and his name means his death shall bring. By the way, some of you are way ahead of me. Who's the oldest man who ever lived? Methuselah. Keep your Jesus glasses on. When I die, judgment comes. Who is the longest living human ever? Methuselah. That is a picture of the grace of our God. That's how long his patience is. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Verse 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Now, this is very unusual. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, but that was before they sinned. Walking with God now in a fallen state is kind of a scary prospect. What did Moses want from the Lord after being so faithful for so long? He said, I want to see you, God. And what did God tell Moses? Can't do it, Mo. I'm so holy and you're not. If you were to see how holy I was, your face would melt. So that's why the Bible says, no one has seen the Father, God as we would sort of conceptualize, an all-knowing, everywhere present God, and lived. And people who have visited heaven did so in the spirit, not in their actual physical body. Walking with God, and oh, one more thing. Remember the priest there at the tabernacle, once Moses builds the tabernacle, we have lots of records of people, then when they went behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was, what would happen to any of the high priests who didn't do everything exactly right? They would fall over dead. And they would tie a strap to their ankle, and they would listen to the jingle jingle of the little bells embroidered into the hem of the high priest. And as he went behind the veil to sprinkle the four horns of the Ark of the Covenant, he got right back out. Whew! What would happen if he didn't do it just right? He would fall over dead. And the Mishnah records four occasions when that happened. Remember when the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant, and then they thought that that was a trinket. Whoever has the Ark of the Covenant, kind of like Indiana Jones, you know, can rule the world. Well, the power is not in the Ark. The power is in the God of the Ark. But remember the interesting incidents when the Philistines give it back, because they have all kinds of bad things happening. You take this Ark. So they give it back to the Jewish people. And the first little Jewish town that they comes to, somebody opened the lid of the ark. What happened to them? They died. David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh, where it had been for about 400 years, and he wanted to bring it into Jerusalem. How did God say to move the ark? You put poles through the corners, the rings, and it was to be borne on the shoulders of the priests. How did David move it? He got the cool new truck is what he did. He got enterprise rental. He got a really good one. Big old wheels and so on. And then they're moving it that way. Well, then it hits a jostle and somebody goes to steady the ark and touches it. What happened to them? They died. It's all a model of the holiness of God. So one more time, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. You have to understand, very, very unusual. How was he able to do so? I don't know. My hunch, he was walking with the resurrected Jesus. I'm sorry, what? Aren't we talking at this point, you know, several centuries before Jesus? That's right. But when Jesus got his brand new multidimensional body, he ascended into where? Into God's room, as it were. And then I believe his resurrected body, a prototype of one that we'll get, Jesus is able to reinsert himself into the linear timeline. Where God lives now, there is no past, present, and future. It's all constant. There's no such thing as far or near, because he's everywhere present. There's no such thing as many or a few, because God is with and in and through everyone, every angel. And then at this point, even when we get our brand new bodies and we're with him, with me at the same time, Mary Magdalene hugged the resurrected Jesus so tight, and Jesus said, Mary, you gotta let me go because I've got other things to do. When we get to the multidimensional presence of God in our brand new bodies, we get to hug Jesus as long as we want, because there's not a line of people behind you. Hurry up, Stephen, let go of Jesus' neck, will you? It's my turn. That's not how it is. He is everywhere present. There's no such thing as far or near, many or a few. You are hugging Jesus with every ounce of your strength. At the same time, so is everyone else. Whew. Well, back to this idea. Enoch walked with God. I believe he is actually walking with the resurrected Jesus, who can reinsert himself into the timeline. And if you're sensitive to it, that happens on a number of occasions. Joshua outside of Jericho. Joshua stroking his beard. Whew, how are we going to take this city? And all of a sudden, God shows up to him. Wait a minute, I thought no one can see the Father at any time and live. You can't. But that was probably Jesus. Jacob wrestled with God, and God touched his hip and dislocated the joint there. Was that the Father? No, that was the resurrected Lord. And I believe that is who is here right now. Now, if so, watch carefully. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then verse 25, and then Methuselah, what? He's walking with God, and suddenly he was not, because relative to the humans on the surface of the earth, poof, he's gone. What's going on here? Now remember, all of the words of the Bible are God-breathed and they are profitable. And I believe what we are seeing here is a model. Whenever you are reading in your Old Testament especially and something transpires, real humans, real cities, real generals and all that kind of stuff. But every once in a while, men and or women of God will do something really bizarre. What was that? Put your Jesus glasses on. Let's do so here, shall we? Now, we know that the flood of Noah is coming. There is a worldwide judgment on its way. And if you will, there were three groups here in Enoch's day. What do you mean? Well, group number one are going to be those people who will not heed Enoch's teaching. His name means teach. What's he teaching? I believe he is teaching flood coming. You'd better get ready. And nobody believed him. So that's group number one. They have listened. They have heard. Yeah. Well, that group, they're going to die. They're going to perish in the worldwide flood. It's group number two. At this time, there's going to be Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and then their wives. Eight. God's number of completion is seven. Seven plus one is new beginning. How many humans came off the ark? Eight. Pretty amazing. So group number two facing this great worldwide judgment is Noah, Mrs. Noah, and the family. They are going to be supernaturally protected through the worldwide judgment in the ark. Everybody with me? There's group number three here. It's one fella, but this is Enoch. And he walked with God, likely even Jesus. And he is taken out, say it with me, before the great flood. Are you seeing this? Today, right now, the entire planet is in the same situation. What are you talking about? We have a worldwide judgment that's going to be here fairly soon. What's that? It's the book of Revelation. And there's still three groups. Group number one, they're not listening to Jesus' teaching. They're going to perish in this worldwide judgment of fire. Group number two, the 144,000, 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel, Jewish evangelists. That's Revelation chapter 7. They have a seal and none of the judgments touch them. Group number two today is 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will be supernaturally protected through the worldwide judgment. And group number three, take a guess, it's us. What are you talking about? The church who prayerfully walks with God. And us, we, that third group, is taken out, say it with me, before the book of Revelation's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. Are you seeing this harvest? It's a model in the Old Testament of a pre-tribulation rapture. All right, verse 25. Now Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Lamech's name means despairing. Well, this is Lamech is Noah's father, so it's getting pretty rough out there. And he's named, what a bummer, despairing. So write that down. Despairing. Verse 26, and after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years, had sons and daughters, so that all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. The oldest man in the Bible. Jesus' glasses on. What's his name mean? His death shall bring. When I die, look out. And how long is the grace of God? Verse 28. Well, Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son, and called his name Noah. And there it is. And Noah's name means comfort. Comfort. Write that in. And this is why. Because Lamech said, because this one will comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Planet Earth is really deteriorating. We're going to see starting next week in chapter 6 that demons were misbehaving. They were having sexual relations with the women. Crazy giants were being born. It was way off the hook. It was really crazy. And so Lamech thought that Noah was going to be very important. And turns out he is, because he's the one who's going to build the boat. Verse 30, and he begot Noah. Lamech lived 595 years, comfort, and he had other sons and daughters. All right, real quickly, you can write in your margin, Genesis 7, verse 6 says that Noah went into the ark when he was 600 years old. Cool. Genesis 9, verse 29 says that Noah died at the age of 950 years. So there's all the ages. Also, I want to show you this. Hit that go button, if you would, Chris. When you see it laid out like this, Adam is the first, and down at the bottom right, there's Moses. And how did he get the history? How did he get Genesis and the Garden of Eden even right in the first place? Count them, 25 generations. You ever played that game, telephone, telegraph, and you whisper ABC, and it goes around the room, it comes back, I don't know, the Raiders are never going to win the Super Bowl, whatever it is. And you say, well, there you go. It can't be accurate history. Look at it laid out like this. Can you see it? Lamech, Noah's father, knew Adam. Lamech knew Adam for 56 years. Now look and see Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. See Shem? Please notice that Shem lived 500 years after the flood. Shem outlives Abraham. See that there? Take it on down. Abraham was a pretty old guy, and he is what? Great-great-grandfather to Moses. And Shem actually outlived Abraham. Jochebed is Moses' mother. And Jochebed was 17 years old when her grandfather, her grandfather, he died. Jacob died when he was 147 years old. What do families do when they get together? They eat food, of course, and they tell what? Stories. Moses' mom, Jochebed, was 17 years old when Jacob died. Jacob knew Shem for 60 years. Moses learned this creation story that we are reading from his mom. Unlike the movie, Cecil B. DeMille, Charlton Heston, what? He didn't know I was Jewish. He said, what a surprise. Well, that's not accurate because the book of Acts tells us that when daughter of Pharaoh takes out this baby out of the river, drawn out, that's what Moses' name means. She has compassion because her dad had ordered the death of all the male Jewish and Hebrew sons. So somebody put Moses, Moses' mom, put Moses in this little ark that floated down the river, and God guided it into Pharaoh's daughter's little cove. She pulls it out, and she goes, a baby. But who will nurse the baby? Who has been following the book of Exodus? Who has been following the ark and along the shore? His older sister, Miriam. And so who's going to feed this baby? Miriam, his sister, pops out and says, I know somebody. Who does she have in mind? Moses' mom, Jochebed. Jochebed raised Moses in the house of Pharaoh. And Jochebed told Moses all of those stories. And if you will, just four, if you will, generations from Adam, who was an eyewitness. Oh, one more thing. Let's say there were a little off here and a little off there. Don't forget, Moses spent 80 days with God himself on Mount Sinai. Whatever story he didn't have exactly right, God himself, likely Jesus, could edit the book. So Genesis, the creation story, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is 100% accurate. Everybody got that? Hopefully that's helpful. Now verse 31. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, so there's the end of the chapter. Now remember I told you reasons for faith, and that the Bible claims in 2 Timothy 3:16, how much of Scripture is God-breathed? All. What about the names? Are you ready, Chris? Here we go. Put up our next slide. Here is a Bible, and then there's some of the names we just read. Now I want you to put the names up. Go ahead. Here they were. We've just read about them, 10 of them. Number 10, by the way, is an idea of complete. It's an idea of completion within a system. In other words, a system is working. By the way, how many fingers you guys have? How many toes? How many numerals in all mathematics? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. How many digits? 10. Are you seeing this? In Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, how many commandments are listed? 10. 10 is very, very important. And here's your number 10 again. This is a complete system of some kind. What are you talking about? We got Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Got it? Let's put up their name meanings. Go. All right, you guys seeing that? Now I want you to notice something. Let's take the names away, leave the meanings go. We have a sentence here. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God will come down teaching, and his death, whose death? God, who came down, his death shall bring the despairing comfort. That's the gospel. What's it doing in the Old Testament? Oh, hit the up arrow one time. I got a little excited. Hit the up arrow one more time. Can you see it? Hit the up arrow again. Those name meanings are accurate. Now, when Adam and Eve said, well, we're going to call this boy, oh, I don't know, call him Frank. I don't know, George, no. How about Seth? Okay, and it stuck. He was a real guy who really lived. Mr. and Mrs. Seth, what are we going to name? All these people were real humans who had real families. But when they decided this is the name, who was moving them to name those people? Take the, hit the down arrow. And if you know what you're looking at in Genesis chapter 5 is the gospel. That God would become flesh. What's he doing when he's down here? Teaching. But his death, although tragic for the moment, is going to bring the despairing comfort. Are you seeing with me that tucked in your Old Testament book of Genesis is John 3, verse 16. How much did God love the world, you guys, that he zipped up a human suit? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him, his teachings, shall not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Do you see now that no humans could have come up with that? These were real people who really lived. We've got a little time. Can I show you another one? We're done here in Genesis 5. Would you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 7? I want to show you another one. Revelation chapter 7, please. Go ahead and make your way over. Revelation chapter 7. Now, in chapter 7, what's happening is you're at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. Six seals have popped. Earth is catching its breath. And there's a great parenthesis there in the middle. A number of things happen. One of the things that happens at the midpoint is God does something very amazing. The Antichrist has just put a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies of the third temple to us that he had helped the Jews build. In getting that temple built, the Jews said nobody could do that but Messiah. So they literally embraced the Antichrist as Messiah. For the first 3.5 years, they think that he's their Messiah. Something happens in the middle. This is Matthew chapter 24. One of the things is he puts a statue of himself. He chunks out the Ark of the Covenant of this third temple. He puts a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. What does every single Jewish person do? They recoil in horror. Remember how Jesus is rejected on Palm Sunday and he wept? This is your party, Jesus. We got palm branches going and everything. What are you upset about? And he was weeping, oh, Jerusalem. If only you would have known what day singular this is. But because you have rejected, what else could I do? I walked on water, I healed the sick, I raised the dead. And you still think, in a minute I'm going to go into the East Gate, and instead of kicking out Romans and beginning what you believe is the millennial reign, I'm going to turn over the tables of the merchandisers polluting God's house. And you're going to go, ew, you're not anything we expected, and you're going to reject me as your Messiah, and within 4 days, I'm going to be on a cross dying. Oh, Jerusalem, but because you have done this, blindness in part will overtake you until when? Until the midpoint, chapter 7 of the Great Tribulation, God pulls back that blindness in part. They open their eyes. Oh, no. Jesus is our Messiah, and all of Israel will be saved, says Paul in Romans 11. Now, in this time, let's look at it, this videotape, chapter 7, verse 1, Revelation. Now, after these things, so we're 3.5 years in, at the midpoint of the 7-year Great Tribulation. After these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, or the sea, or any tree. So there's a great time out. God is saying, everything be quiet and be at peace. Something is going to happen, and I don't want you to miss it. Verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. That's going to be your second half. They're getting ready to go, but not yet. Verse 3. And this angel said, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Here now are the 144,000 that are going to be supernaturally protected through those awful judgments of the second half of the Great Tribulation. Verse 4. And then I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of and the children of Israel were sealed. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Now we're going to name them here. Hit our go button if you would. I want to show you this too. Now there they are, artist depiction of them camping in the wilderness. And the 12 tribes are all around. They're the tabernacle of Moses. And the big flame is the Shekinah glory. Go. Did you know that all of the names have a meaning? Yes, Pastor Steve, you just told us that. Well, if you take the 12 tribes, they have a meaning as well. And so here they are. Leah, remember Jacob is the one who's going to have these 12 boys by two wives and a couple concubines. But real quickly, here's the lineup of who comes from whom. By Leah, Jacob's first wife, you had Reuben, he's firstborn. His name means look. Simeon is number two boy. His name hears, Simeon, to hear. Levi, who made pants, the Levi, his name means joined. And there's a reason that Leah named these boys these things. But a troop has arrived, joined, united. And then son number four is Judah, which means praise. Now, Rachel's getting jealous. She can't have kids for some reason. So she says, what about my concubine? Because that was some of the things they did. By the way, did God say, hey, go find yourself a concubine? No. So these are humans doing what humans often do, taking it into their own hands. So by Rachel's handmaid, a gal by the name of Bilhah, we have Dan. He's son number five. His name means judged. And this is Rachel getting mad at her sister. Ha! See, God has judged you, Leah, because I finally have a boy now. Oh, my goodness. Baby wars is what we see here. Naphtali, his name means wrestling. Well, Leah says, oh, yeah? She says, what about my handmaiden, Zilpah? So two sons are born to Zilpah. Gad, which means reinforcements. I'm winning the baby wars. And then Asher is son number eight. His name means joy. Now Leah has two more biologically. Issachar, and his name means wages. In other words, God is paying me in wages of bouncing baby boys. Zebulun is son number 10, means dwelling or honor. Then finally, Rachel conceives, and she's fighting and scratching the whole way. Her one son is named Joseph. Added to, aha, she says, I finally have a baby in your face, Leah. Joseph has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then finally she has son number two, Benjamin, son of my right hand. And she dies giving birth, does Rachel, giving birth to Benjamin right outside of the city of Bethlehem. And names him, son, you killed me, boy. And so Jacob says, nope, that's not going to do. Not son who killed me, but I'm going to call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Do you see that there? Now, do you see Manasseh there in Ephraim? There's over 20 times that the Bible will list all of the 12 tribes of Israel together. And you'll notice that almost every time you see them, they're in a different order. Let me show what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Here's how they are mentioned here in Revelation chapter 7. They're mentioned as follows. Judah, Reuben, Gad, and I have put their actual birth number next to them. Is that a sequential system? No. We got Gad number 7, Asher is the 8th, Naphtali is 6th, Manasseh, he's one of the sons of Joseph. He's Joseph's firstborn. And then Simeon, he's 2nd, Levi's 3rd. Issachar is 9th, Zebulun is number 10, Joseph and Benjamin 11 and 12. What's going on here? What does the Bible say about every word in the scripture? Watch this. Hit our go button. No Dan and no Ephraim. Now, why is that? That's because Hosea 4, verse 17 says, Ephraim has joined to idols, let him alone. Dan does some dirty dealing against the Lord. Count him as unfaithful. So that's why in this particular list, no Dan, no Ephraim. That's because Manasseh, and then, of course, Ephraim, are Manasseh is included. Dan and Ephraim are kicked out. Now, why these? Hit the go button. Let me show you. We'll take away the left. Now, do you see that? Revelation chapter 7, what's happening? Well, we've got the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. Who's going to come next? The Antichrist. So what's he going to do? He is going to systematically try to kill every single Jewish person that he can. And in Revelation 17, would God's people, the Jews, be a little freaked out about that? So God says, look at the order of the names. Go. Let's read that sentence. Hey, Israel, listen, Judah, and see, Reuben. God is sending 144,000 reinforcements, Gad. And don't worry, there's going to be a joy. Asher is coming. What's the joy? At the end of the second half, Jesus returns. I know it's been a bitter wrestling, Naphtali, but one day you are going to forget those struggles, Manasseh, if you will just listen and hear these 144,000 reinforcements. Listen to them. They are teaching the gospel. The blindness in part has come off of Israel. And now listen to them, these 144,000, and join with them, Levi. And then your wages, Issachar, will be honor, Zebulun, and you will be added to Joseph, the son of my right hand, Jesus. And that's all I have to say about that. Are you seeing it, Harvest? The miracle of God's word. Humans couldn't have come up with that. And every time you see all of the 12 tribes mentioned, you'll see they'll be in various orders. Do this exercise and watch what God is trying to say to the people by pronouncing the meanings of their names.